A pastor wrote, "When I was a youth minister, we used to take our students to Centrifuge at Glorieta, New Mexico. Glorieta is a large Baptist conference center. And so while we were involved in Centrifuge, there would be other conferences at the same time. I remember one year while we were there, they were hosting a conference for the deaf. I sat in the cafeteria during meal times and watched with fascination their sign language. I had never really been around anyone who could use sign language, and so I was fascinated at how they use their hands to communicate with one another. They seemed so fluid in their ability to talk with one another, and the expressions on their faces as they shared their stories were priceless. As I watched, I was particularly moved to see parents talk to their children using sign language. My kids were quite young at the time, and I can remember thinking as I watched those parents talking to their children in sign language that if my children had been born hearing impaired, I would learn sign language because I would want to communicate with them in ways that they could understand. If they couldn't hear the words I spoke, then I would find a way to communicate with them in ways that they could understand. I would want them to know, without a doubt, how much I loved them and cared for them. I would want to communicate with them in ways that they could understand so that they would know how valuable they were to me, how much they matter to God, how precious they are not only to me but also to Him. I would learn sign language because I would want them to know that God loves them and has a plan for their lives. Learning sign language wouldn't be a burden, but an expression of love. It would represent one way to be able to communicate in ways that they could understand. God tried to communicate His message to mankind, but we just couldn't hear Him. We just weren't getting it. Rather than give up in frustration, God loved us so much that He chose to reveal Himself in a way that we could understand. He sent His own Son to communicate His message in a way we could relate to. That's the miracle gift. That's the message of Christmas. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 records God's message. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. God sent Jesus to bring His message to us, to communicate His message in a way that we can understand. God has been speaking throughout history. He desires to connect with us. He wants us to know Him, to love Him, to worship Him. God has revealed Himself through His creation, through the sunrise, through the sunset, through the moon and the stars. He spoke to Moses in the burning bush. He spoke to the Israelites from smoke and fire on the mountain. He spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. To Isaiah by a vision in the temple. God spoke to Hosea through his family circumstances. And to Amos in a basket of fruit. He spoke to Jeremiah through a potter's wheel. And to Joseph through dreams. God even spoke His message through a donkey. God spoke His message through visions and dreams, through angels, through symbols, through natural events, and in many other ways. He revealed Himself in Ur, in Haran, in Canaan, in Egypt, and in Babylon. There was no limit to the variety in God's revelation. It did not always occur in the same place or in the same way, but He made Himself and His will known. Finally, God sent His Son to show us what He is like. In Jesus, God revealed Himself directly to us. Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. He did more than just proclaim God's message. He is God's message. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say of Jesus in verse 3, who, referring to Jesus, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the apostle described Jesus as the Word becoming flesh and living among us. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. When Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?" Jesus declared in John chapter 10 and verse 30, "I and the Father are one." God sent Jesus, and He sent Jesus to bring His message. And I'd like to share with you just two quick little points here this morning about that. The message of Christmas. The first thing about the message of Christmas is, it's not just that God spoke in the past. God speaks to us today so that we can know Him and have a relationship with Him. God speaks to us today to tell us how much He loves us, how much He cares for us. Listen, He knows what you're going through. He knows what every one of us are going through. He understands our pain. He understands our problems. He knows our temptations. He knows what we can handle. He knows what we can't handle. The God of the universe, who created all that exists, who sustains all that exists, desires to speak to you. The God who is greater than all the universe wants to have a personal conversation with you and with me. He desires to speak to you, and He desires to speak to me so that we can know Him, so that we can love Him. He knows all about us, and He wants us to know a whole lot about Him. He came that 2,000 years ago on that first Christmas, but He continues to come today to each one of our lives to speak to us so that we can get to know Him. So the message of Christmas is not just that God spoke in the past, He continues to speak today. And then second, the message of Christmas is God's transforming power. Think about some of the messages that have changed history. Headlines communicated the message in 1939, Germany invades Poland, and World War II was underway. On December 7, 1941, the message came that Pearl Harbor had been bombed by the Japanese and America joined the war. Most people who were alive at the time will never forget hearing the message that President John F. Kennedy was shot. And then the follow-up message, the president is dead. But messages don't have to be global or national in origin to change your life. Most of the time, messages are personal and individual. You're going to have a baby. You have cancer. A loved one has died. You've been laid off. The message alters our life. There's no going back. The message begins a new stage in our life. It changes everything. And when it's said, it seems to be just a simple message. And our life is never the same again. Christmas is the celebration of the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed. God is with us. God has come to dwell with us. God has come to walk with us. God has come to be with us. And what a message, because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God came. Jesus came as God on that Christmas. But he came to die 33 years later on that Good Friday. That special gift, that message was that God loves us and he's taking care of whatever is necessary in order for us to know him. And that's our forgiveness of sins so that we can have eternal life. Some of you have received messages this past year that have changed your life. But in the midst of all the other messages, God is trying to communicate his message of Christmas. He wants you to know that his message can change everything. If you choose to listen and believe his message, your life will be transformed. He speaks into life's painful moments and he says, nothing can ever separate you from my love. He speaks into life's confusing messages and says, trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me and I will direct your paths. He speaks into life's betrayals and life's bitternesses and he says, forgive those who mistreat you. He speaks into life's joys and celebrations and says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Through Jesus, we hear God saying, I love you. There is nothing you can do that would cause me to love you any more than I already do. And there is nothing that you can do that would cause me to love you any less. God already loves you with all the love, and he demonstrated it by sending Jesus Christ. He says, I love you. I sent my son so that you could know without a shadow of a doubt how much I love you. I care for you. I care about what you're going through. Every one of us at various times go through struggles, go through difficult times, go through things that are completely beyond our ability to control. It may not be at this moment. It may have been just past. It may be off in the future, and we haven't experienced it yet. But we all go through struggles, and God wants us to know that he's right there, and he knows exactly what we're going through. I'm here for you. Let me walk with you. Let me increase your joy, and let me carry your burdens. I've been trying to get your attention so that I can tell you just how much I love you. That's God's message. That's a message he wants you to know. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you listening? What is God saying to you today? What is he saying? Is he calling you to receive him as your personal Savior? Is he calling, is he speaking to ask you to give him control of your life as Lord? Is he speaking to you about making a commitment of some kind in your walk with him to serve him? What's he saying to you?